The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is Adam Fields with the Midnight27Studios.com, creator of the Prowl comic book series. You are listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a new installment of the PVD Cast. I am the purveyor of this podcast, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 198. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about my guest, Mr. Paul Laporte, in just a few moments, but I'd like to say happy belated 4th of July. I know that many of you celebrated our nation's independence with picnics and parades and fireworks and whatnot, and I hope you had a great weekend. And to be honest with you, because of the 4th of July falling on a Thursday, and I knew many people would be taking an extended weekend, that's why I decided to hold on to this episode and not release it last week, but release it this week, so everybody can have a nice vacation, a nice little break, even yours truly. But I'm back. And I'm very excited for this episode. My guest for this episode is Paul Laporte. He is part of Foam Hammer Games, and they've created a very unique wrestling card game called Book It. When I found out about the project, it clicked in my head that way back in middle school, a friend of mine and I created a role-playing game that was wrestling-oriented, where it was basically you created two wrestlers and wrestler A would fight wrestler B, and it was kind of based on Dungeons and Dragons, and we cleverly called it the RPWF, the Role Playing Wrestling Federation. But this card game is a little bit different. It's more along the lines of promoting wrestling shows, and I'm going to let Paul explain everything because he does a much better job at it than I could do, but it's a really interesting concept, and so he's coming on to talk about that game and, of course, his fandom of professional wrestling and his fandom of games as well, and it's a real fun interview, so I'm very happy to present it to you, and we'll get to that conversation here in a minute, but I want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every particular era, whether you're talking about the golden era, silver, bronze, or modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, and various collectibles. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff or any of the guys over there at World's Greatest Comics. And you can even check them out online at wgcomics.com or go over to Facebook and find them, facebook.com/WGComics, you know, just in case you don't want to leave the house. There you go. But definitely want to thank World's Greatest Comics for being a fabulous sponsor of the PVD Cast. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm sitting down with Foam Hammer Games' very own Paul Laporte. Hey, welcome, folks, to this installment of the PVD Cast. And this evening, I am sitting down with Mr. Paul Laporte. He is one of three individuals behind Foam Hammer Games. Paul, how are you this evening?
Doing great, John. Thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. Now, your company deals with games. And can you maybe give a little brief history of how the company started and whatnot?
Sure. So the company really started out of a game that we created, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. Book It, the Pro Wrestling Promoter card game. I really wanted to, in addition to doing this one game, I wanted to leave myself open to create other games down the line. So we decided to kind of just make a company to kind of put everything underneath. The name Foam Hammer Games comes from, and the logo actually as well, comes from this big blue foam hammer that I used to have when I would run tabletop role-playing games. And if somebody did something that I didn't like, I would hit them in the head with the hammer. So some of my friends thought that it would just be a funny little nod back to really what was one of my early forays into gaming when I was a teenager. So that's kind of where the name came from. And then the people involved, just through the Book It Project and just through my local gaming scene here in upstate New York, we all kind of got together, and so it was born.
Okay. Now, you've always been fascinated with games, correct?
Yeah, I have been, man, since really very, very far back as I can remember. I mean, obviously, I think like a lot of kids who were, you know, my age and growing up in the, growing up in the 90s and whatnot, probably got into video games more at first. And then, you know, you had your standard board games that everybody played, like Monopoly and things like that. But right around the time when I was 15, 16 years old, I got my first job at a gaming store where, you know, I had been playing things like Magic the Gathering and stuff. But this got kind of opened me up to a lot of other things that were out there in the way of role-playing games, board games, things like that. And then even beyond that, I mean, a couple of years ago, I played poker professionally for a year. So I've kind of really been very involved in varying types of games throughout my whole life. There's just something that I really like about that interaction between people and the puzzle solving that kind of comes with it. It's something that's really fascinated me. And these days I'm certainly more involved now in the board gaming aspect, since we've had the renaissance that it's really gone through in, you know, the mid 2010s. I guess that's a thing. That's an expression you could use, you know, right? Really like that 2010 through 2015 range, where board games have really kind of had a big comeback, and people are seeing the kind of opportunities that they offer, that it isn't just, you know, some sort of stuffy game like Monopoly. Like, it can be so many different things, that's what kind of gave me the idea to do what I'm doing now.
Well, can I ask, put you on the spot, what were some of your favorite games, or are your favorite games to play?
So growing up, obviously, like I said, Magic the Gathering was a big one for me. I got involved in that when I was like 12 years old, and played that pretty consistently for probably about 10 years, then took a break from it. Since then, a lot of other games, me and my wife have pretty much all of the Dominion expansions. So some certain deck building aspects of that game kind of leaked into Book It. There was also a living card game that was going around for a while called Android Netrunner, which I was a very, very big fan of. I liked the kind of gambling aspects of that, and the way it was kind of an asymmetric game. In terms of board games, there's a really, really good one called Lords of Vegas, which is kind of like Monopoly, but just better in every conceivable way. So those are just a few I have looking behind me, probably a couple hundred or so board games. There's things that I've enjoyed about a lot of different ones. So that's, I could talk about that subject for hours, but those are just a few off the top of my head.
So why do you think that it has been a renaissance, so to speak, in board games?
You know, there's a lot of different theories on this. And if you listen to people who are smarter than I am about this subject, people like Quentin Smith from Shut Up and Sit Down has done a lot of really good treatises on the renaissance of board gaming. And there's a lot of things that he said that I agree with. I think that the reason that board gaming is kind of coming back around, especially for people who are, you know, millennials, adults, you know, people in their 20s and 30s, is it's something that is a social element now. It gives you a reason for you and your friends to get together when normal life just wouldn't necessarily allow that. In the age of things no longer really being in people's ownership and possession, like music, you know, we have streaming services, we don't really own those anymore. A lot of video games, we never get a disc for, they're all just digitally purchased. Video board games are something that is tangible, that you have, that you keep, that will not go down in value, will sometimes go up in value. So I think that there's a certain aspect to that. And then I also just think it's people, there have been people in the creative side of it who are really just doing very different things and kind of playing around with a lot of different aspects. I mean, there are board games out there where you can be your more stereotypical things in this sort of space, like wizards or space marines. And then, you know, there's board games that you can play, a Victorian housewife going on a shopping spree. Like, it's really like there's this really wide range of things that you can do. So board games, there's some board game out there that is for somebody. There's something for everyone, and even people who like, you know, pro wrestling, and not just pro wrestling, but the inner workings of pro wrestling, which is how I got people to support Book It. This is really a super niche idea, but there was a lot of support for it because people are seeing that there's a lot of interesting things you can do in this space. And I think that it's really only gonna, I don't know if it'll get stronger, but I think it's gonna stay at the pace it is for a while.
Well, I want to go back to something that you mentioned real quick because it's in my notes. You played poker semi-professionally. Mm-hmm. For someone who's not a gambler, I will just freely admit that. How does one begin the journey to go into that arena? I assume, and to use a parallel, much like we're going to talk about with Book It here in a minute, like you have to start at the indies or start at the lower tier of tournaments, I guess, and work your way up, much like an indie wrestler has to.
So you want to know how you become a professional poker player?
Yeah.
You lose your job. that's how you do it. So I've been playing poker and blackjack and things like that. I've been very, just, you know, kind of along with my gaming side, I got very interested in the theory and the strategies of different gambling games like blackjack and poker specifically. When I was 19, I learned card counting for blackjack. I got very involved in that. And then from there, I just kind of carried it into poker and just all the different strategies and different elements of that. So I had been playing it, you know, kind of as a hobby or as a side thing for years. And I do okay at it. You know, I do fairly well at it. And I was working at a job, and the place I was working at closed. They laid me off. I was going to school. So I decided that rather than going to look for another job, I had a little bit of money that I was able to set aside. I was just going to finish out school, go full time. And then in my spare time, I was going to go play poker. I'm like 20 minutes away from a casino. That's another big thing. If you want to gamble professionally, live close to a casino. So I would just, on nights and weekends, I would go over there. I'd play for, six, 8 hours, depending. Then had to take my classes during the days. And it is definitely something that you, like you said, you kind of have to start off at smaller limits. You know, you start off at your $1, $2 tables. And then, you know, I was at probably the next level up above that, which is $2 and $5 with $500 buy-ins. So, but that is a thing too of, it's a very stressful thing. And it's why I don't do it anymore, because you have to be very willing to admit that you're still doing the correct things while still losing sometimes very large amounts of money. And it's a very stressful thing to go through. And I'm glad I did it. And I'm pretty proud of the year and a half or so I put into it. But I'm definitely happy back in the 9-to-5 life. And then because I'm doing this on the side now, I really haven't had the chance to do much poker playing at all in the past couple of years.
Now, I don't know this because, again, I'm not a gambler. Are you allowed to admit that you count cards? I thought that was a no-no.
No, so the
I thought that was something with two guys with no necks named Vinny and Paul come over and they escort you in the back. At least that's what I mean, seems to be in the movies, you know.
Well, we're not in a casino, number one.
True.
Number two, if you were in a casino and you admitted it, they would probably just ask you to leave at that point. That's just the way it is. But card counting, actually, there's this misconception that it's illegal. It's not, as long as you're not using any sort of device to keep track. So as long as you're not using like a computer or any sort of thing like that, then that's okay. Technically illegal because you're using what's called a cheating device. Otherwise, if you're just keeping track of the mental arithmetic in your head, it is not illegal. But if a casino finds out that you're doing it or suspects that you're doing it, they can potentially ask you to leave because they can get you under trespassing then at that point because you're on private property. They don't want you there anymore. They can kick you out. There's certain states where they can't kick you out for it, but then they'll just make the game so bad that you won't want to play it anymore anyways.
Oh, see, I'm learning so much today, Paul. I really
glad I can help.
I'm serious. I had to, yeah. All right, cool. So you obviously are a huge wrestling fan.
Yes. Huge wrestling fan and involved in it as well. So.
Oh, okay. So how are you involved? Are you involved on the back end of things, like behind the camera and that, or in front of the camera?
A little bit of both. I work for two independent wrestling companies up here in the Northeast. One of them is called New York Championship Wrestling, in which I provide commentary for them for their YouTube videos. The second one is Truly Independent Wrestling, which is based out of Lanesboro, Massachusetts, where I help write for them. I used to do commentary, but I don't anymore. And then I'm also an authority character for the actual shows. So I do some stuff in front of the crowd, but I do mostly stuff behind the scenes for everything.
Cool. So who are some of your favorites? You know, as a fan, who did you really enjoy watching, or who do you still enjoy watching?
I always like to throw out the anecdote that I was born 1 day, 2 days before the first WrestleMania. So the first WrestleMania was March 31st, 1985. I was born March 29th, 1985. And I can't remember a time I wasn't watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. So I've really been following it very heavily for a very long time. Growing up, my favorites are guys like Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho. I liked a lot of the cruiserweights, Dean Malenko, Rey Mysterio. Then going through that, other names kind of going along, guys like Nigel McGuinness from Ring of Honor. I'm a humongous fan of the Japanese women's pro wrestlers from All Japan Women's in the 90s. Manami Toyota, I still consider to be the greatest wrestler that's ever lived. Aja Kong, a lot of the really great wrestlers out of that. So. And then for the men's side in Japan, guys like Stan Hansen, Mitsuharu Misawa. If you're talking about more people, modern people today, some of my current favorites, guys like Hiromu Takahashi, Get Well Soon Hiromu, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kenny Omega. I really like what the Bucks and AEW are doing right now. Chris Jericho, I think, is really making a name for himself to be one of the best ever. So I really have a really broad range of people that I like currently and I've enjoyed over time.
So let's transition into talking a little bit about Book It. So how did you originally come up with the idea? Like when you were sitting down, you were going, yeah, there needs to be a game based on stuff that goes on behind the scenes, which, as you mentioned, it is a niche market. There's not a lot of people that, you know, may want to see that side of things in pro wrestling, and some people who are very interested in it. So how did you come up with the idea?
It's funny because I think we're actually coming up on more or less the 3-year anniversary of the idea, because how I originally developed it is I was going to be going on a camping trip with a lot of friends of mine who are independent wrestlers who work with some of the companies that I work with now. I actually wasn't working in companies at the time, but all my friends were. I just knew friends who were independent wrestlers who are trained and were kind of going up and down the Northeast. They were all getting together for a camping trip, and we all like playing board games and stuff like that. So I decided that I was going to try and just pull out a little surprise for them, which was a card game that I had made about booking professional wrestling, really just to kind of entertain them more than anything else. So I spent, I think, probably 3 or 4 days putting together the original version of it. All the wrestlers were based on, we had just names of people in the real world at that point. The rules were ended up being different than from what Book It is now, but the bones of it were pretty much the same. And then I took it to this 4th of July camping trip, and they played it, and I just thought it was going to be kind of a silly little thing. They all thought it was like really good, and they're like, man, you should really try and actually get this thing made. This is really good. So from there, it was just kind of deciding that I'll give it a shot. I'll throw it up on Kickstarter, see if anybody's interested. If they are, then great. If not, no big deal. I'll just go back to doing what I was doing and let this be just something among my friends. And it was something that people really were interested in, because it's a different approach to professional wrestling. Pretty much every other professional wrestling card game or board game that's ever existed is, you're a pro wrestler and I'm a pro wrestler and we're wrestling a match and who is going to win that match. But if you're somebody who's like a diehard wrestling fan, you know that the actual act of wrestling in a match is not combative. It's cooperative. It's two people working together to tell a story and put on a match. So the theme of I'm a wrestler and you're a wrestler and we're fighting never really landed for me, because it's just not the way that I see professional wrestling. But where there is competition and where there is drama and conflict is in between these companies. So that's kind of where I got that idea of, instead of being a wrestler, you're actually trying to run a show, and then you can kind of make a deck building game and a resource management game out of that. And that's where I kind of got the idea, is just from the simple fact that this is something that my friends were doing and that I hadn't seen anybody else doing in this sort of space.
So the basic objective is to be the promoter that puts on the best shows, period.
Yeah. So the idea is that each player, the game is for 1 to 4 players. You can play it by yourself for a high score. Or you can compete against up to 3 friends. You're each a wrestling promoter and you're each running a promotion. And the idea is to have the highest reputation at the end of 6 turns. So basically representing how popular you are, how good everybody thinks that your company is. And then you do that by assigning independent wrestlers to your promotions, by trying to develop the local starting wrestlers you get in your deck to make them better. You can buy cards to hurt your opponents and to help yourself. Each turn, you're deciding what city you want to run your show in. Those cities have different pros and cons depending on the type of promotion you run. So you can choose the style of wrestling you want on your show, whether it's strong style or lucha libre or hardcore or sports entertainment. And then you kind of put all those things together and then make money off of your shows depending on how famous the wrestlers are. Your reputation goes up based on how good the wrestling actually was. And then at the end of 6 turns, the person with the highest rep wins.
So what's some of the strategy that might be involved if you were playing this game? Like for example, if you and I were playing, obviously there's strategies of who you put against who as the promoter, correct?
Yeah. So when you're laying out your shows, you're signing people, you don't necessarily get to plan things exactly how you want, because as you sign wrestlers, they go into your roster, which is basically your deck that's dedicated to you. Then you draw an opening hand of wrestlers. This is to represent the idea that not everybody is going to want to do exactly the things you want to do, where plans just won't come together exactly the way you want. But you want to try and put people together that have similar levels of ability or are familiar with each other. So you want to put together people who have similar styles, and you want those styles to be the same as your promotion, ideally. You want people who have the same amount of star power, because then they're more marketable if you have two guys on the same level who are going against each other. You want guys who have the same what's called work rate, how good they are at wrestling, because if they have the same level of work rate, then they're going to be compatible. They're going to put on a better match that's going to increase the quality overall. So when you're actually laying out the cards, it's more or less a numbers matching sort of game. If you're looking at it at the mechanical level, where you're trying to put people together who have similar traits and aspects, and that will kind of give you bonuses. And then on top of that, as far as the more overarching strategy, you're trying to decide if you want to be a promotion that focuses more on making a lot of money or putting on a lot of good wrestling, because the company with the highest reputation at the end will win the game. But at the end of the game, you get reputation based on how much money you have behind you too. So you could be a company that decides, listen, I'm not really that concerned about putting on amazing shows. I'll put on good shows that'll make me a lot of money. And then at the end of the game, if I'm the richest person, well, a lot of people view the company with the most money to be the one that is the best. So that's how you end up winning the game through that way. And then beyond that, there are a lot of really interesting kind of smaller strategies that have developed and metagames that have developed in different pockets of really the world of people who have played this. And that's been one of the most satisfying things to see as a game designer, is seeing people come to me and say, oh, well, you know, I've developed this strategy to play the game, or I think this card is broken. And then somebody else comes to me and goes, no, this card is awful. So it's really interesting to see how people have kind of developed their own strategies around it. And it makes me happy that I've made a game that has the depth that people are able to do that.
So let's talk about your role in this for the listeners at home. You are the lead game designer. Can you briefly explain what your job entails?
So I made effectively the mechanics of the game. So mm-hmm. I made the mechanics, I made the theme, the names of the cards. I really created the game kind of from the ground up. So being the game designer, I'm the person who really designed how the game itself is played. Then in addition, at FHG, we have Alex Mahoney, who right now is our lead artist. She is the one who designs all the artwork for it. So anything that is a picture, any sort of artwork, she did all of the work for that. She's actually done a lot of merchandise design for independent wrestlers in the past and still does to this day. So she was really, really familiar with the source material, mm-hmm. probably more so than anyone else I could have gotten. So it was really, really fun working with her, and it still is because of the enthusiasm that she has for the subject and the passion that she has for wrestling. And then Eric Swanson did the graphic design for it, and he was responsible for picking out the fonts and determining the location of the information on the cards, like where the text goes, where the stats go, the background colors, he picked those. So we all really kind of have our own little elements. And obviously, because we're such a small group, there's a lot of kind of overlap of people giving opinions on different elements and whatnot. But it's a pretty collaborative thing, but we all have our specialties that we do, and then we put all those things together to make a pretty solid game.
Who created the wrestlers and their personas? Was that all three of you, or was it specifically just one person was in charge of that?
So I originally determined the wrestlers because, like I said, the people in the game are all inspired by people in real life. And when I did my camping trip, when I had just text typed out on pieces of paper, they were the actual wrestlers. Well, obviously, yeah. I can't make a game with real people in it. There's lots of licensing and copyright issues.
Yes.
And
there's a lot
people,
of court costs involved, yes, in that, Paul. A lot of court costs.
And I know I could have gotten some of them to give me their permission. And I have actually shown people their cards when I've gone to conventions and things like that. And everybody's been really cool about it. But I knew I had to do fictional people. But then that also gave me the opportunity to really kind of stylize them and make them kind of special in certain ways. I could do things like taking a character, a wrestler in the real world, and then kind of mashing together different parts of their career. Or I could take a wrestler and swap their gender. I could do lots of different things like that, that kind of allowed people to kind of take a look at it and go, oh, that's cool that they did that with this person. So as far as the names and the fictional names and how we came up with those, I actually kind of opened that up to all of my friends who were playing the game at the time. I said, okay, here's the list of the people. I need names for these people. You give me names that you think will be good. I'm going to give them names that I think that are good. I'm going to pick the best ones. And then that's what's going to determine them. So actually naming the wrestlers, which really kind of also determined the art direction that I gave to Alex from there, that was really almost kind of done by committee amongst the very, very earliest playtesters of the game.
Okay, cool. One thing I would like to compliment you on your website, you have a lot of different information there for game manuals, tutorials for those folks that are playing the game. I think that that's something that I don't know if I've seen on other websites, and maybe that is very common, but of course, I'm talking about foamhammergames.com. Whose idea was it to put up some tutorials and whatnot?
I had decided to do that right around the time that we were doing the Kickstarter campaign because I wanted people to have a very clear picture of what the game looked like. In addition to that, we do also have digital versions of the game available as well on Tabletop Simulator and Tabletopia. So I wanted to make sure that people who are playing the digital version of the game really had kind of a clear outline of how to play it. And the game isn't a super complex game. The manual is only like 2 pages long. But unless you have somebody kind of outline it for you that first time, it might be a little bit more difficult to pick up. And I know myself, I have seen tutorial videos. Not every place does it, but there are sometimes YouTube channels out there that will do tutorials of a game independently. And that has helped me to learn a lot of different board games in the past, a lot better than reading a manual does some of the times. Really using those tutorial videos to get an idea how the game plays, and then using the manual as a reference for if I need to look anything up. So I decided to kind of go a similar route. And then also from a practical perspective, the smaller you can make the manual, the cheaper it is to produce. So that was definitely something where I could lay out all the rules, but then if I wanted to get really in depth, then I could just do that in the videos and then direct people to the website and to our YouTube channel.
So the game was funded through Kickstarter, and I always ask creators, how do they find the process of Kickstarter? And I have discovered throughout the years of doing this podcast, when I throw that question out to creators, either they love it or hate it. There doesn't seem to be a middle ground. So if I may ask, Paul, where do you sit on that spectrum? Love Kickstarter? Hate Kickstarter?
I love it. I mean, it's hard work, but there is no other way I would have been able to get this game made without turning it into a game about friggin' zombies or something. Like, there's no way I could have gone to any other game company and gone, hey, I'm making a game about booking professional wrestling. Do you want it? Like, they would have either not understood what it was about, or they would have wanted to change the theme. I would have never have been able to make this game otherwise. As far as the process itself, I mean, it's hard work. It's not something that you just throw out there and hope it goes well. I mean, you need to do a lot of research. I did a lot of looking into in terms of the pricing, in terms of the rewards. I really had to do a lot of due diligence into looking into that, making sure that you're maintaining communication with people as the campaign's going on. Probably the biggest pain and the most complicated thing is really just getting the game made and sent out to people once you actually get it backed. The campaign part of it is fairly easy. I mean, obviously you want to market it to people, but really you're just kind of sitting there and watching pledges come in, hopefully, while still trying to make people aware of it. But when you actually get to the part of having to do it, then you're really dealing with the manufacturer, you're dealing with the freight shipping company, you're dealing with, I had four different distribution centers because I wanted to make sure that I could ship the game out everywhere in the world cheaply so people wouldn't have to pay $50 to get it in Australia, you know, to get it shipped to them, let alone the cost of the game. So there's a lot of moving parts that you have to deal with. And as far as the campaign itself, that was, yeah, there's a lot of research you have to do, but that's not nearly the hard part of it. That part I actually enjoyed. I did have some experience with Kickstarter. I had self-published a small comic book a few years before that, so I kind of knew what I was getting into. But it's hard work for sure, but I definitely loved it, and I'm planning on going back there fairly soon for the first expansion for Book It.
Did you get put through a table? Because I know that was one of the one of the perks that you got. And so I was just curious, did you get put through a table?
Nope, no one. I had two spots for that opened. If you pledged $1,500, I would hand deliver you your game. You could put me through a table. No one did cash in on that. Everybody asks me about that. I did not, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you want to look at it.
I was going to ask, did you go, oh, thank God?
I mean, I don't know. I think if somebody, the thing is that, like, knowing me, it would have been like just like one of my, well, like the people I know putting in $1,500. Like if it was just some random person across the country who decided to give me $1,500, I would have actually kind of been excited about that. But I had one friend who was threatening to spend $3,000 and put me through two tables. So, I mean, I'm kind of glad that didn't happen. As far as like actually doing it, I mean, I have done really like one or two like actual wrestling spots with companies I've worked with. I wasn't really worried so much about that as long as the person could do it and not like accidentally drop me on pavement or something. You know, that was really the concern. So if somebody had backed it, I was planning on bringing my friend along who has over a decade in the wrestling industry to kind of be like the stunt coordinator for it, just to make sure that like everything went cool and like, you know, I didn't just get chucked onto concrete or something.
Yeah. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Paul for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, and even collectibles. And if you want to make sure you don't miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pool system and you'll even get 20% off all pre-ordered comics. That's one heck of a deal, folks. So check them out online at wgcomics.com or jump on over to the store located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and let them know that you heard about it from me, John Orlando, on the PVD Cast. So you mentioned expansion packs. Is that the next step here with Book It?
Yes. We haven't officially announced this through our channel, so I guess you're getting a little bit of a scoop on it. We have made the announcement in our Discord, but not anything official on our webpage yet. We are working on the first expansion for Book It, which will add more wrestlers, more special announcement and dirt sheet cards. We'll add another venue, and we'll add a new mechanic called production cards, which are basically secret goals that players will have. So, you know, trying to put on a show that features all women's wrestlers, or trying to put on a show that has, you know, all of your jobbers upgraded a journeyman. It'll basically give you a goal to hit, and then that goal will give you some sort of bonus, whether it's to your reputation or to your money. So it's really kind of adding like a new element to the game. I wanted to make sure that if I was doing expansion, I wasn't just throwing more wrestlers in there. I wanted to give people really something new to sink their teeth into. So we're currently working on getting everything together for the campaign for that. We're starting to get the artwork done for promoting it. I'm starting to talk back to the people who did the promotion videos for the first campaign and getting all of those things back up and going again. Right now we're shooting for the end of July for the campaign to go live. It'll run through August, and then we're hoping to get everything distributed out, if it gets funded, by the end of the year.
So what's been the feedback for Book It?
Surprisingly positive. I mean, it's really, I'm always expecting that every time I kind of like put it out to a new group of people, I always expect that it's gonna be like, okay, these are the people who are gonna hate it. Like, I always think, like, I'm always just nervous, like, oh, my friends just like it because I made it. And then, oh, these people who are playing the digital version, they like it, but no one's gonna like it when the actual Kickstarter goes out. And then I get the reviews back from that, and then they all go really well. The response has been really positive, just in general. People, especially if you're a hardcore wrestling fan, but even if not, people just appreciate the game itself, the way it plays. They like the way it's designed, the artwork. Both reviewers, we got a really good review from the Dice Tower, which is a very well-respected board game reviewing site. They reviewed it and reviewed it very favorably. If you go to the Board Game Geek website, which is kind of like the big hub of all board game fandom, right now it's sitting at like out of a 10, it's sitting around an 8 range right now. So the response has been very positive. I get a lot of really good feedback from it very consistently. We're just selling copies of the game through our website right now. We're not even in any sort of distribution, but I still get a pretty steady stream of people coming in and ordering it based on word of mouth or advertisements they've seen. And, you know, there's always going to be people who have little things here and there, but for, you know, everybody talks about how the internet is so negative and everything like that. I've gotten nothing, you know, very, very much, much, much more positive than negative feedback for sure. And it's been very cool to just see something I made be played literally all over the world. It's a very surreal feeling.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Well, as we're getting up here to about 40 minutes, I want to start wrapping things up here. Are you going to be making any appearances at any conventions or anything? I know you mentioned it way early on that you have been at conventions before. Mm-hmm. So got any upcoming appearances?
So we are going to be upcoming next week. If you're in the Northeast, if you're in the capital region of New York, we're going to be at the Empire Game Expo, which is in Albany, New York. We're going to be doing that on the 13th. That is a smaller convention. Right now, in terms of the bigger conventions, we're shooting for PAX Unplugged in November. We've put in a request for booth space right now, but if that doesn't fill, if those spots fill up and we're not able to get a spot, at the very least, we'll be there and probably running demos in the main play area. So that's going to be the plan right now. And then depending on where we're at, as far as, because I'm starting to run low on stock, I'm looking at maybe needing to do another order of them. Depending on where we're at, we want to try and do a more full convention schedule next year and kind of hit the big, you know, PAX East, Origins, Gen Con sort of circuit. So we're going to do some smaller ones up in the Northeast. So if you're in the Northeast region, really, you know, that New York, Vermont, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, keep an eye open. We may pop up somewhere. And then late 2019 and then through 2020, we're going to try and take the show on the road and go more nationwide.
Okay, let's talk about some of the places where folks can find you on the internet if they want to order a copy of the game, or if they have questions for you, or they want to keep tabs on where you're going to be. The website I already mentioned, foamhammergames.com. What about your social medias?
So social media, Twitter, you can check us out at Foamhammer Games. Instagram is the same. Facebook, if you just search for Book It, the Pro Wrestling Promoter card game, that is, you can find us through that. I think it's facebook.com/bookitgame is the official one. If you go to our website, all of those links are on there as well as the link for our Discord channel, which we have a pretty active Discord community of about 120 people in the Discord, and a lot of really loyal, you know, steady people in there who are not just talking about that game, but talking about professional wrestling and other subjects in general. So definitely check us out there. And then, you know, like you said, if you're interested in picking up the game right now, unless you catch us at a convention or some of the few gaming stores in the Northeast that are carrying them, really the main way to get it, head on over to the website, foamhammergames.com. You can pick it up there.
One final question, Paul, because I just thought of it. Have you received any feedback from some gigantic wrestling superstars?
No. Well, okay. It depends. I mean, as far as the major, we'll say, you know, corporate people who are tied up in very large organizations, their social media is pretty well restricted. I would still love to get it into the hands of Xavier Woods, because he's obviously a really big gaming nerd, and I'd love to at least get him to play it. Once we get into more of the conventions, I'm betting I can probably get a copy into his hands. But one of the nice things is, like I said, it's always entertaining to see when we go to a person, if we're at a wrestling convention, something like that, like Marty the Moth Martinez or some of the other wrestlers. Ray Phoenix is another one, and actually show them like, hey, I made this game. You're in it. Like, here's your card. Their faces always do kind of light up, and that's really rewarding to see, just to see them, you know, like actually be like, hey, I'm in a board game. That's really cool. That's really rewarding to me. And I love seeing that.
All right, Paul, once again, foamhammergames.com is the website. That's where you need to go to check out the game and to buy a copy and check out all the social media right there. Paul, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast and happy to come back.
All right. You got it, man. You got it. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Paul Laporte, talking about Book It, his fantastic wrestling card game that's only available through his company. And again, that web address is foamhammergames.com. So go on over there, pick up a set. I'm sure Paul and the folks over there will greatly appreciate it. And if you want to let me know what you thought about this episode, well, there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of this podcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/pvdcast. And don't forget that you can find this podcast a variety of different places. Obviously, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the easiest place to find it. But it's also available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, the Libsyn Podcast Player, basically anywhere where you find podcasts. All you gotta do is search for PVDcast, or sometimes PVDcast John Orlando, and boom, there you go, you will find it. And I also have to let you know that today's podcast was brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a 30-day free trial to give you the chance to check out their service. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.